Welcome to another episode of the City That Never Sleeps podcast. I am Josh and I am joined by my co-host Tobias. Now this episode is coming out. I want to give a warning to everyone. This episode is coming out on trade deadline day, Thursday morning, Thursday, February 10th. Okay. This episode is being recorded right now, Wednesday night. So all the trades that we're going to talk about have already happened. Everything at this point is speculation of what the Knicks can do on the final day. So far, they've done absolutely nothing besides the Cam Reddish deal, which was weeks ago, if not months at this point, or if not a month at this point. It hasn't been months yet. And so there's that. And what we're going to do, just like we do every time we finish an episode, we say, here's our next five games predicted. If something big happens, we'll be here with an episode before those five games end. If something doesn't happen, we'll see you in five games. This last five game stretch, nothing really big happened for the Knicks, so we weren't here. Trade deadline day might be different. If the Knicks do make a move, you'll probably see us within the next 2 days with a new episode. If not, we'll see you in another five games when the Knicks don't make a move. Anyway, I'm Josh, one of your co-hosts. I'm also joined by my co-host, Tobias. Toby, how are you?
I'm not good. Not good at all. Okay. I'm a Knicks fan. Well, what can I say? Let's get right into it.
Sure.
Let's talk about the first game. I mean, there's not really much to say about the first game, right? We kind of clapped the Kings. The Kings kind of suck, so we should have clapped the Kings. It was a good game, right? We could say that. It was a good game for us.
Yeah, no, it was. It was a full team effort, as I put in here. A lot of players contributed. I talked to you about this before. We have five games to go through. I'm ready to burn through these. And really talk about the points that matter. But like the Kings game, yeah, like that. Nothing really too crazy. I mean, it's the losses that we really want to get into because this team isn't winning games recently.
Yeah, I mean, leading scorer of the Kings game was Alex Burks with 21. Pretty good game for him, unlike the other games that have followed afterwards. All right, second game.
Grizzlies,
yep. This was a closer game than the other ones that we started off. I would say pretty weak. You know, they outscored us the first and second quarters.
Yeah.
And we just never really recovered from that. I mean, we had some stretches. I swear we would score like 8 points in a row and then they would too. You know what I mean? Like we would get a run and we would be like this close and then they would get a run and we'd be like that far again. So
I think it was a comeback effort the whole way through. I think they had multiple comebacks throughout the game, and then by the time the end of the fourth quarter hit, it was just over.
It was the game. Yeah, the game was over. I mean, yeah, it wasn't good enough. Fournier had a pretty good game, we could say. He had 30 points. So, I mean, nothing really to complain about there. 35-2. Their notable performers were Julius Randle with almost a triple double, 18, 12, and 9, and RJ had 23, 4, and 1.
And to remind you, because that game was over a week ago now, final score being 120-108. So, I mean, on the scoreboard, it didn't look that crazy. But again, I mean, this Knicks team came back repeatedly in that one, just weren't able to close it out. Another game they weren't able to close out, Toby.
This one hurt the most. I thought after this game, I thought our season was over. I'm going to be honest with you.
And that would be the Lakers beating the Knicks 121-119. 115, excuse me, and I read the score completely wrong. 122-115, final score in overtime. Knicks lose to the Lakers. This game, it was the Knicks leading throughout the entirety of the first half, first quarter, whatever you want to call it.
The first half, I think we were up like 70 to 40 or not, yeah, maybe 50 something. We were up 70 to 50 something, and then we just fall apart like we normally do.
Yeah, I have it written down here. The Knicks score 42 points in the first quarter, which is tremendous for their team. I mean, that's like Warriors-type numbers. And then you go into halftime. They led at halftime, 71-56. Randall, he dropped 32, had 16 rebounds. And
RJ had 36.
Barrett dropped 36 points in 50 minutes. It was two teams that really came into this game struggling in their respective conferences. The Lakers not showing up what fans expected and NBA experts, reporters, whatever. Same thing with the Knicks in the East after making the playoffs last season. So two games came in. The Knicks were on top. And then due to turnovers, I would say poor shooting from the field in the fourth quarter, and also overtime, it just didn't work out. I remember the final thing coming to mind, the Knicks had an inbound pass, they got it in, immediately stolen by the Lakers, that was it, closed it out, final play.
And I want to say, I'm not 100% certain about this stat, but I'm pretty sure we had like eight threes in the first half, and then like three the rest of the game made. We shot 28% from three the whole game. Like you're never going to win a game like that. They shot even worse than us, and they still beat us. So that just goes to show our season, really. That's our season right there.
Yeah, no, it is, and this is also our season. Again, just keep on bouncing, because these are four losses in a row here. The Knicks lost to the Jazz 113-104, and in this game, the notes that I have written down, Donovan Mitchell put up 32 points in 36 minutes, and he helped lead the Jazz to a victory, while Julius Randle dropped 30 in 38 minutes.
And before we go to Jazz game, I will talk about the Jazz in a second, but I want to say RJ did have a really nice clutch three at the end to send us to OT, which was, again, good by him. But anyway.
Best player, I mean, you got to agree, right? Best player on this Knicks team.
Best player
right
this year is RJ Barrett. Oh, 100%. Yeah, definitely. And all right, let me talk about the Jazz game, because this was actually a really close game. We led after three quarters, right? And then we find a way to fall apart in the fourth quarter. It's 28-28 after the first. They outscored us in the second. We outscored them heavily in the third. Not heavily, but by like seven in the third. And then in the fourth, they outscored us by almost 15. So, I mean, RJ, good game. Randall, good game. Mitch had probably one of the best games of his career, we could say, right?
Against the Jazz?
Yeah. He had like 10 offensive rebounds or something crazy that. But, I mean, it just, honestly, this game went down to our point guard play. Our point guards, two of them, Quickly and Burks, combined for 10 points and 5 assists. So, not what you want to see from your point guards.
Toby, I can see you directly compare this game to the Grizzlies one, because this is kind of like, except it wasn't the lead part. It wasn't the Grizzlies taking a 15-point lead and then the Knicks coming back. This was just, it was knotted throughout the whole entire game.
Oh, yeah, whole game.
Yeah, so it just came down to the fourth quarter, came down to the end, and
we needed that clutch reformer. We needed a clutch reformer in the end of the game, and we didn't have that. And you know who did have that?
Who?
They did, with Donovan Mitchell. He closed the game out for them. That's what stars do. We've seen that time and time again. We've seen Giannis do it. We've seen other stars do it. We've seen LeBron do it. We saw AD do it. Like, we've seen many, many stars do it to us, and we don't have that star to do it to them, so we're going to continue to lose these close games unless we make a trade for a star, which we probably won't, but anyways.
And then from time to time, there's always these games, the blowout, and that's what that was in Denver. I think every Knicks fans can admit it. By the time it was the end of the first quarter, maybe even first half, since it was a road game on the West Coast, most Knicks fans don't even stay up for these, but if you did, by halftime, you're like, all right, I think I can shut my eyes, go to bed, and I'll be fine with the result in the morning. I know what it is already. 132-115, the Nuggets win. Just an overall, I'm lost. I'm at a loss for words, Toby. I mean, I think this performance sums up the Knicks season, below expectations.
Yeah, and honestly, the first quarter was definitely not bad. It was 40-36 after the first quarter. We were scoring a lot of points. They were scoring a lot of points. And then in the second quarter, they scored a lot of points, and we didn't. And the game was over after the second quarter. And we outscored them in the third, and we tied them in the fourth, but we could never really just come back from that massive deficit, that 20-point deficit that they started after the second quarter.
Yeah.
So,
And if you look in the doc, I have the second quarter number. It was New York was outscored 43-24 in the second quarter. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah. Yeah. The Nuggets are a complete team, and we're not. But someone I want to harp on through these past five games, who started to get a lot more minutes than he had as of late, is Cam Reddish. And he has been really bad. Okay? Really, really bad.
Sorry, right now I just want to say, did the Knicks win that trade? I would say yes, still. I mean,
still yes, because we pretty much fleeced them really bad. But in the Nuggets game, I think in 14 minutes he had 2 points. In the Utah Jazz game, in 15 minutes he had 6 points. in the Laker game, he didn't play. So, I mean, he just hasn't really impressed to something that I would like to see from him. You know what I mean?
Maybe it's chemistry. Maybe it's, you know, he's still not used to the team yet. Maybe it's Thibodeau wants to find the right role for him. He hasn't found it yet. I don't know what it is. I want to go back to your point about the Nuggets and their all-around team that they have that the Knicks don't. That showed up, you know, last night when we were recording this on Wednesday. It showed up on Tuesday. The Nuggets with four players scoring 20 points or more. It could have been five if Aaron Gordon scored one more bucket as he had 19. And then Randall, again, he's putting up numbers and points per game, but I think it's the stuff that we'll talk about in a little bit. It's like kind of the stuff, it's on the court, but also off the court, getting the technical fouls, not helping your teammates up when they're down, being on the opposite side of the bench. It's all of that like little stuff that I feel like comes into consideration when we want Julius Randle off the team. It's not the numbers, because he's putting up numbers. He put up 28 points in 34 minutes. I know you were making the comment before you recorded
that. It is a little bit garbage time minutes, and I know you're about to say that, but I want to say it myself. it's a little bit of garbage time points, okay? But, I mean, it's still good to see 30 points from Julius. It's another step in the right direction from what he was last year, and we're gonna have to continue to see that. Otherwise, I think we ship him out of here in the offseason. Maybe get a 3-team trade or something like that. I don't know. I don't know. What do you suggest?
To me, the craziest part is, you know, this like 4-year, whatever, $117
massive deal,
whatever it is. This doesn't.
It hasn't even started yet. Yeah.
What were you saying?
It hasn't even started. I was just about to say that. Yeah.
Like, think about it. Julius Randle right now, right? He had that really good best season of his career last year. All right, let's sign him to this 4-year deal. He sucks now. Well, guess what? This isn't even part of that 4 years. That 4 years starts next season.
Yeah. So, well, we'll see what happens in the next couple of years. I mean, hopefully we ship him out in the offseason. I doubt we will, because I think Thibodeau likes him. But I don't know.
I mean, next couple of years, I'm hoping by tomorrow. But yeah. No, I don't see it happen. I don't see a Randle trade tomorrow. I don't.
I don't either, and I'd be really surprised if we got one. Okay, so Let's talk about the big thing that we wanted to talk about in this episode, and some of the trade targets, some that we could potentially go after, potentially won't. We were apparently interested in trading for Harrison Barnes, but from a couple of hours ago, he's now unavailable, as per the Kings informing other teams. I've seen it on multiple sites, so I think that's pretty valid of an actual news, so I don't think we're going to be able to get Barnes.
Good.
Which is a bummer. You don't want Barnes?
Bummer. The man's 29 years old. He's out of his prime.
That's fair.
I mean,
that's fair.
If you want to go out there and trade your young pieces like Quentin Grimes, like Mitchell Robinson, who we'll, again, get to later. I think he's in here that some teams have been interested in him. No, I don't want to trade young pieces for Harrison Barnes, because he's 29 years old, right? So we're inheriting a 29-year-old player.
But would you be down to be trading Julius Randle for Harrison Barnes?
No. Still not.
Not even?
Because think about it. We're bringing in a 29-year-old. We're trading away a 27-year-old. At least Randle has more years on him to help us lead to a championship. How is Harrison Barnes going to contribute to a championship when he's going to be gone in 2 years as a veteran? I don't know.
But I think maybe it's more of the contract issue. It's just that we want to get Randall's contract off our books, and we take Barnes instead.
And again, that's why no team wants Randall themselves, because they don't want to take in a 4-year, $100 million plus contract next year.
And another big piece that no team seems to want is actually Evan Fournier. No team really wants him because of that massive contract. I mean, he's a good player, and teams like him. It's just he's got a big contract, and he's a little bit overpaid for what he actually is doing for your team. And I mean, unless you're a championship team, you're not really trading for him at this point.
Yeah, I mean, a sharpshooter, we know Evan Fournier, what he can do against Boston Celtics players, but what about any other team in the NBA? That really comes into consideration when you're talking about Fournier. So just something to note there.
He hasn't been shooting terribly. I think he's shooting about 40% from three, which is a little bit maybe under what you expect from him as a 3-point specialist almost. But again, I mean, honestly, you could contribute some of his lack of shooting to something that is a very pressing issue for us. And you want to transition to that? The point guard position, okay? I mean, if you're not getting...
Wait. Sorry. Well, you were going to say point guard, I guess, just one more thing, because the Knicks aren't being able to execute trades because their players hold really no value. If anything, negative value, like Randall, like Fournier, and then the other point guard I was just going to mention, Kemba Walker. No one wants Walker. No one wants to get a guy who just hasn't been doing well this season. So that's why we can't execute these trades. No one wants Nerlens Noel. Yeah, maybe you want Quickly. Maybe you want Grimes. Maybe you want Cam Reddish. That is coming to the news these last few hours that, Reddish isn't off the block, or whatever. But
yeah.
Or is on the block, whatever. Go ahead, sorry.
Okay, I wanted to transition into the fact that we need a point guard very desperately. And we're looking at some of our options. They've dwindled very, very, very much. I'm pretty sure the Kings said they were unwilling to deal De'Aaron Fox, so that's a big blow. Tyrese Haliburton just got traded, so we won't be able to get him.
And that was a guy I liked, too. But
I liked Haliburton, too. Yeah, I think...
Of course the Knicks don't get him. Surprise.
Oh, no. I'm not surprised at all, actually. So, funny you say surprise, because we're not. All right, let's look at some of our options. Colin Sexton. Could be. I don't think the Cavs are going to trade. I think they're actually going to buy.
Yeah.
So, kind of hard. Derek White could be. Where is Derek White playing? Is he a Bull right now?
No. Well, I remember he was on the Spurs. No? Is he still not on the Spurs?
He is on the Spurs. You're correct.
Yeah, he's been on the Spurs, I think, his whole career.
Okay, yeah. 100%.
What are the Spurs doing right now? They could be selling.
Yeah, they could be selling because they're not really good. But, if you look at his stats this year and career-wise, he's only a 30% three-point What am I saying? Yeah, 30%, 34% three-point shooter. He only averages about, 11 points a game in his career. He's averaged 14 this year, so he's definitely up from career year for his career numbers. But, is a player like that even going to do much for this team? He's only averaging about 40% field goal percentage, and his assist numbers aren't really that good. This year, they definitely have been better at about 6 a game, but that's pretty much what Randall does. I think we need a much better assister than him.
And there's one more guy here on this list, and it's Dennis Schroeder. So it's like, are any of these three guys good at this point? I wouldn't say so. They're not crazy. When the Knicks had the chance to trade for Colin Sexton, those rumors were really heating up a year ago, and we didn't do it. So we didn't snap on the opportunity. Now we're here, and now it's like Colin Sexton, Derek White, and Dennis Schroeder are our options. And honestly, besides Colin Sexton, which, like you said, I don't think the Cavs are going to trade him, these other two, Derek White and Dennis Schroeder, they don't really float my boat. I don't like either of them.
I don't really like them either.
And have to give up pieces.
Mm-hmm. Let's look at maybe another option maybe in the offseason, because if we look at a team that has started to have a fire sale, I think you're going to maybe know where I'm going with this, but the Portland Trailblazers, maybe Lillard wants out this offseason. Maybe he wants out now. What do you think? Do you think we have a chance of getting Lillard at all?
I think it's possible. I do. It just, all this time, Lillard has made it with Portland. He's always wanted to say, I want to bring the championship back to Portland. I want to do this with the Trailblazers. He's loved that organization. He's always wanted to, he has positive intent with the fans there. And he had the chance to leave. He didn't. So I can't imagine.
But at this point, when they've traded away his second best player,
You think they did that on purpose?
I think he's as good as gone.
But
there's no way he stays with
Do you think they did that on purpose? Do you think they did McCollum on purpose to get Lillard to also leave so they can, lose his cap? Or do you think it was just
I think they want to rebuild. I think they don't have that championship team, and they know that, and they know they can't trade for that piece.
Yeah.
So I think they're going to want a full rebuild, and they want to get Lillard off the books. They wanted to get McCollum off the books, which they did. Both of them are starting to age now. So, at least they got some value for McCollum and value for – they'll probably get some value for Lillard too. So maybe they start to build young now, and they they come back in a couple of years and try to rebuild off of this, you know?
Yeah. I mean, to answer your question, yes, there's a chance that they can get Lillard. It's not a high chance, but there's a chance. And I think another point, not just Kemba Walker that's struggling, that, you know, we need a point guard, but this young star in Emmanuel Quigley that every Knicks fan loves has been struggling recently, very poorly performing in games. He's not making shots. He's making the floaters. He is. He's getting those layups. I mean, he's getting some clutch points here and there, but overall, not good.
Floaters don't mean jack, man. Like, floaters don't really mean anything, man. We want him to shoot the damn ball, and he has not shot the ball well at all. He's shooting 33% from three, only 36% from the field. Like, that is really bad. He's attempted about 8 and 9 field goals a game and only made about 3. So he has not really been efficient. He's not been a good shooter, and it's definitely showed, okay? It's definitely showed.
Yeah. I mean, we can move on to the Mitchell Robinson news. I know you want to talk about that. You definitely have an opinion.
I do, a little bit.
Opinions on that.
Okay, yeah. Mitchell Robinson. Well, there are some teams interested in him. I think I saw that Detroit was interested in Mitchell Robinson. I'm not 100% certain on that, but I would not be open to dealing Mitchell Robinson at all. I think he might get dealt because they haven't re-signed him yet, and he's at the end of a contract, and I think he's probably going to get dealt, but I would not like to.
Did you see from, I think it was a week ago or 2 weeks ago now, when the Knicks like lost one game and Mark Berman asked a question from the New York Post to Mitchell Robinson, and he said, calm down, Berman. Calm down. Chill out. Do you remember that? You know that clip that went viral?
I think I do know what you're talking about, yeah.
So he's like, don't overreact. Like, calm down, right? The Knicks lost 4 in a row, I think, like, after he said that. Or they've lost, like, 7 of the last, whatever the stat is. It's just funny because after that clip went viral and after he responded like that, and everyone was like, ah, you're so funny, Mitch. Yeah, ah, why is Berman overreacting? Berman was right. Berman was right. This team is struggling, and I guess he knew it from the get-go, and we just didn't as Knicks fans. So just something to point out. To the question of Mitchell Robinson, the trade rumors are heating up. Do we trade him? Let's talk about Riverside.fm, the leading podcast and video creation platform that's changing the game on how creators record content. Riverside FM allows you to record studio quality audio and up to 4K video on their platform. Now you can interview a guest 1,000 miles away and it'll sound like you're sitting in the same room. It's as easy to use as Zoom, but gives much higher quality audio and video recordings. Did we mention that they have a mobile app? This allows guests to connect directly from their phone and record content from anywhere. After your content is finished, you can easily grab clips to share them across your social media channels. So if you're looking for a hero platform for all your recording needs, from podcasts to webinars to other video content, you should be using Riverside FM. Sign up today so you can focus on your content and leave the quality to Riverside FM. Use promo code SHIPIT and receive a 30% discount on your first 3 months of your subscription. That's promo code SHIPIT to receive a 30% discount on the first 3 months of your subscription. Back to the show. I agree with you. I think it's a young piece to keep. I know the injury worries.
But he hasn't gotten injury problems
in his young career so far. I'm telling you, though, I think it's okay because so far this season he's been pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah. Again, he hasn't been bad this season. And not bad. He hasn't been injured much this season. He's been good this season for us. He's shown what he can do at times when given proper playing time and when he's playing well. And I think he's a piece that we need, but I think I would like us to keep him, but I think he's going to be gone because
you think he's getting traded tomorrow?
I think he's getting traded tomorrow because, or he's getting released at the offseason. I don't think they're going to re-sign him because it's going to be a lot of money for Mitch.
Wow.
And I don't think they're going to spend that money.
Interesting. Interesting. What else is interesting here, Toby, is that the Knicks hire Gerson Rosas as a consultant for the team alongside, you know, Leon Rose, the president. The Knicks have, or president, right? He's the president. Is that his official role, Leon Rose?
I think he's GM or something like that. I don't really know. He could be president of baseball operations.
Why am I blanking on this? He is the president of the New York Knicks. Okay, yeah. I'm right. Let's go. I'll take that. But anyway, Gerson Rosas is going to be a consultant under Rose. The Knicks have reportedly hired former Minnesota Timberwolves president to become a consultant. Rosas served as Wolves GM from 2019 until he was fired before the season by Alex Rodriguez's management group. That, you know, A-Rod, the famous baseball player, right? Owns it. Yeah, okay, we got all that. I think Rosas is a good person to add on here. You know, it's interesting, Toby, the offseason after the Knicks re-signed Julius Randle to a big deal, bring in Kemba Walker and Evan Fournier, and all those guys, right, the three of those guys that they brought in, the main signings this offseason, are struggling. They seem to be failing so far, and now they bring on this guy as a consultant. You got to think that connects.
It could be. It definitely does connect, but I think I want to harp on, yes, two of our players are struggling, but I think Fournier struggling is not really his fault. I mean, sure, he might be underperforming for the money we gave him, but he doesn't really have a good point guard to help him out. You know what I mean? He is averaging 15 almost a game. He's averaging, he's got 43% for the field. He's shooting above 40% from three. I mean, he's doing less than what we wanted him to do, but he's not doing horribly, I want to say. And I think he can get up to those almost 20 game numbers if he had a better point guard, like he did with the Magic back in 2020 before he was traded.
All right. And then we kind of touched on this already, but let's just shut this down and get done with these the trade stuff, at least for the Knicks. Julius Randle, we alluded to it already. His future with the New York Knicks. Toby, you go first.
Very shaky. Very, very shaky. I mean, as of late, he's been good because of his pace and spacing. He has taken, honestly, what looks like a page out of RJ's book, I think. I mean, you can't really say that because he's probably, I mean, obviously not out of RJ's book, but he started to drive the ball down the floor, penetrate the defense, and actually kick the ball out, or honestly even make buckets under the net. He started to do that much better instead of some booty-ass fadeaway free throw, or not fadeaway free throw, fadeaway like 40-footer that he barely ever makes anyways. So he has been doing better as of late. But, I mean, honestly, as a basketball player, I think Julius Randle's future will be fine here, but the biggest problem is not just that he's not just a basketball player. He's also a person who the fans don't really like. He doesn't really like the fans. He has seemed like he doesn't really like some of the players on the team, and it just doesn't really look good for him at all.
So I agree. I think it's going to be shaky. I don't think he'll get traded tomorrow. That's right off the bat. I don't think it will happen. I don't think teams are interested enough to take on his hefty contract. And I want to say, Toby, in New York sports, right? We live in New Jersey. We're near New York City. We understand we're New York sports fans. There's always these guys. There's always these players, and there's nothing wrong with it. But, you know, there's always these players that come in free agency trades, whatever, that just can't handle New York and New York City and the fans.
Yep.
And
yeah.
Randle is exactly that example from what it seems to be. Listen, if your team is, you know, is unsuccessful, if your players are unsuccessful, well, New Yorkers, they'll let you know about it. And I think it's just, this might be another example of just a New York player, a New York Knicks player that just can't handle the pressure. And that's what it seems to be.
And I mean, he wasn't really feeling the pressure last year because he was performing well and he wasn't
performing well with no fans, remember?
That's true too. He never really did feel the fans last year, but in reality, I don't think he would get booed at all last year. Even in a bad game, he wouldn't have gotten booed because of what he did for us last year.
Remember, he got MVP chance.
Yeah, he did get MVP chance. I mean, he was loved last year, and his fall from grace has just been so hard.
You ready to get into the latest news regarding the New York Knicks?
All right, let's get into it.
So, we got RJ Barrett first. He's day-to-day with a sprained ankle, and Thomas Thibodeau had some, you know, he talked about it. I just have a little really, really quick, like 10-second clip from the press conference, and then we'll get our reactions to it. Here's Tom Thibodeau when getting asked. So, to give you context, I guess the sprained ankle happened in the Denver Nuggets game, again, Tuesday night, last night when we were recording this, and it was, like, in, again, garbage time. You know, when RJ Barrett was playing out this injury. So when Tibbs was questioned on why he played Barrett at this time period, he responded with this.
What did you have in the game at that point?
We sat most of the fourth. We got it down to 13. And we wanted to see if we could make a run.
Got it down to 13. Want to see if we can make a run.
Shut up. The game's over. The game is over and you're starting a great player who could get injured, like that's just pointless. You gotta
he's your future, and you're risking his career. Not his career. I'm going a little harsh, but maybe
over
his season, his next
deficit?
10 games or so, because an ankle is a big deal depending on how much you hurt it. An ankle is a big deal in basketball. So you're risking that because your team is down 13 with about 2 minutes left in the game. So let's put RJ in. He might have a hurt ankle. Who gives an F? Come on. Seriously, Thibodeau? I mean, I know this guy is like full on aggressive. You know, we play my players for how long I want to play my players. And they, well, I mean, it didn't look good last year, but you know, maybe people make the excuse that they were tired when they faced the Hawks because they played so many minutes in the regular season. I don't know if that's the case, but in this scenario, when you have a player who's full on just injured, you don't play them. That's like an unwritten rule.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm starting to agree with some of the fans who are calling for Tibbs' head. I mean, he did a lot of good stuff for us last year, but this year we've really underperformed heavily. And you can say, sure, it's not just Kip's fault. It's the player's fault mostly because they've underperformed more than he has. But you can't say it's not Kip's fault either in reality. And I think there might be some serious repercussions. I don't even know if he'll be the coach for the New York Knicks next year, in all honesty.
Yeah, I mean, it depends, obviously, how much this Knicks front office, Leon Rose, likes him, and that'll be the decision on whether he'll stay around or not. And now, so speaking about this, we got news heading into the game coming up tomorrow against the Warriors, which, great, get to play the Warriors again now. Steph Curry will drop 3 bombs from everywhere, and they'll get to, you know, destroy us like the Nuggets, we assume. Barrett is doubtful for that game tomorrow due to the sprained left ankle. That's per Ian Begley. He also mentioned that the Knicks say Quentin Grimes has a sore left knee. Could this be serious? Toby, I know you added that in. I don't know.
Yeah, what's up with Grimes? When was the last time he played? Like, it's been a bit, man.
Then you also have Nerlens Noel. He has a sore left knee, and Mitchell Robinson, a sore left back. Those guys are all questionable. So the 4 guys are questionable for the game tomorrow night or tonight, I don't know, whenever you're listening to this episode against the Golden State Warriors.
Yep.
Okay. On to the next piece of news.
Okay. All right. Well, now you want to talk about maybe the trades that happened, not about us, because we don't really have any.
Yeah. I mean, there's been a lot. It's been a good trade deadline heading into it.
I'm sure you've seen most of the trades, but I think we still want to go over it, give our opinions on it. Who wins the trade? Who loses the trade? You want to do that?
That's fine.
All right, let's do the first trade. So the Clippers traded Eric Bledsoe, Justice Winslow, Keon Johnson, and a future second-round pick to the Trailblazers for Norman Powell and Robert Covington. This is the first part of the Trailblazers fire sale, and I think the Clippers easily won this trade. The Bledsoe is really the only player they gave up of any, like, anything at all, and Powell and Covington are both decent players. I mean, Covington not so much as of late, but Powell is actually a pretty good player, and I think the Clippers definitely won this trade. What do you think?
I think the Clippers won this trade as well. I think they took advantage of what the Trailblazers wanted to do, getting rid of Powell and Covington. And honestly, to get rid of 4 players, is it 4 or 3? 3 players. To get rid of 3 players in this trade and only bring in 2, that's good cap-wise. So I think the Clippers did good there as well. You want to go to the next trade? Are you good with that?
Yeah, sure. Next trade, Indiana sends Caris LeVert and a 2022 second-round pick via Miami to Cleveland for Ricky Rubio, lottery-protected 2022 first-round pick, and 2022 second-round pick via Houston, and a 2027 second-round pick via Utah. So, again, Indiana sends Caris LeVert, who's a great player, and Cleveland sends an injured Ricky Rubio. I think at this point, Cleveland won this trade. They need a player who can help them win now, and Rubio being injured for the full year is not going to help them win now. I mean, that's pretty damn obvious.
Yeah. I also think, I mean, we kind of know what's coming next here when we talk about Caris LeVert, he's been around the NBA right now. I remember when he was with the Nets, he played pretty well for them, and I think that's where he was for, you know, no one was really, or I wasn't expecting him to kind of bounce around the NBA, and then he's been with a few teams these past few years. I'm going to have to agree with you on that one. I'm interested to see if there's any that we disagree with when it comes to trade winners or losers, but I assume it'll be very similar because I think, like, a lot of people have the same ideas when it comes to who wins and who loses trades. The next trade we got here, the Trailblazers and the Pelicans, again, Trailblazers making some moves once again. They were in serious discussion on a trade centered around CJ McCollum, sources tell ESPN, and then they did in fact trade CJ McCollum. Where do we have the exact specifics on that trade? Do I have to get it? I think I have to get it.
No, we have the exact trade. Blazers gave... get Josh Hart, Thomas Santoronski, Nikhil Walker Alexander, Didi Lazuda.
Oh, yeah, I did have it in here. I just
and
that.
A 2022
Sorry.
Protected first round pick and 2 second round picks for CJ McCollum, Larry Nance, and Tony Snell.
Humongous trade, by the way.
Mm-hmm. And I think, honestly, I think this is a pretty even trade for what both teams are trying to do. Blazers are trying to get rid of some players, maybe get some young players, and they did that with that first round pick. And I want to say Josh Hart is younger, but I'm not. I think he's actually older. I'm not even 100% certain. He's 26, so he's about medium. I mean, he's not a terrible player, and he doesn't have the worst contract, which is what they needed. They wanted to get CJ McCollum's contract off the books, and the Pelicans are helped out by getting McCollum, who's probably going to be a good second piece for Zion Williamson in the future and Brandon Ingram now. And I think both teams get a pretty good package for this deal.
So, here we go. We got a disagree, or not a disagreement, but just a different, winner opinion here. You said it's even both ways. I like what the Pelicans got here, honestly. I like the CJ McCollum, Larry Nance, Tony Snell more. CJ McCollum, Larry Nance. I think that it was a good trade for the Pelicans. I understand the even part. I think the Trailblazers also, you know, got obviously a few key pieces in here, including the protected first round pick and the 2 second round picks. I like what the Pelicans got here. I'm going with the Pelicans won this trade. I might be the minority here, but that's what I'm going to say. And then the Pacers traded DeMontis or Domas Sabonis, Jeremy Lamb. Why did I say, why do I have Jeremy Lamb twice? Can you see that?
Yeah.
The Pacers are trading Sabonis and Jeremy Lamb to Sacramento for Halliburton, Buddy Hield, and Tristan Thompson.
And I think the Pacers won this trade pretty well. What do you think?
Yeah, I would say so. I mean, I like Sabonis. I've always liked him. I wish the Knicks got him. But DeMontis Sabonis is a really good player. I think that the Kings are getting a good guy. I think Halliburton's also a really good player too.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Like, I like all these players in this trade specifically, like Sabonis, Lamb.
You say it's more even?
I say it's more even.
That's fair.
No, I was just repeating the question. I said, would I say it's more even? I was repeating the question you asked. No, I would still say that the Pacers won, but I like these players individually. I'm just saying, like, all these guys in this trade, I like, besides like Tristan Thompson. He's not my favorite.
I don't understand Sacramento trading for Sabonis when they're obviously not trying to win now, but I guess we'll see what they're
build around.
I guess so. We'll see what they'll try to do in the future.
Yeah.
And that's pretty much the end of the NBA trades that have happened so far, I'm sure.
Yeah, go ahead. Sorry, finish up.
We might have to update you tomorrow with a trade that the Knicks do or do not make. I think we might make a video no matter what. I mean, an episode no matter what tomorrow, because we maybe discuss that the Knicks didn't do anything.
It's more you want to make an episode, and I just don't want to edit an episode.
All right, well, let's get to our next five games. Both of us have, you know, we're feeling a little bit of fuego right now. We're both 29-21. I think I was 5-1 in the last five, I want to say.
You were 5-0.
Yeah, 5-0. And you were 4-1?
Correct, yeah. I had the Lakers win, and I was so happy when they were up, by the way. I literally said to my dad, I go in the second quarter when they were up, I go, you know, Toby predicted a loss here, and I predicted a win. And then my dad goes, Josh, listen, the game hasn't ended yet. And I was like, all right, but look, they're up by a lot. And I freaking lost.
It's the Knicks, man. You got to expect the loss no matter what. All right, let's start it off. Warriors, good team, L.
Oh, wow, that was really quick. Yeah, I'm going to have to go with the loss, too. I guess you can really knock this out quickly because it's the Warriors. This continues the road stand for the Knicks. This road stand consists of, I think, 6 games overall, if I want to say, or 5?
I think it was 5.
5. So, yeah, a loss against the Warriors, to say it quickly. Yeah. Trailblazers, away.
I think we could win that. They sold a lot of their good players, and Dame has not been the same Dame that he has been before. So I think we could actually beat the Trailblazers this time.
I completely agree with you. I also have a win for this game against the Trailblazers. And then moving on, we got the Thunder here, our third game out of 5. Home, both have wins.
Yeah, I mean, we've been beating the teams that we're supposed to be beating. Like bad teams like the Kings and the Thunder. So I think we'd be able to beat the Thunder pretty easily.
Yeah, and I agree. I think that could definitely happen. Another win for the Knicks. Predicting maybe more wins than they get, but we'll have to wait and see. Against the Nets at home here, I'm going to have some fun with this one. I had some fun last week. I'm enjoying myself, trying to enjoy myself as much as I can with how bad this Knicks team is. So, you know, against the Nets at home, I have a win. Although I don't think it's going to happen, but I was like, why not? Throw it out there, you know?
I have a loss if James Harden plays. If James Harden doesn't play, it's a different story. Because I don't think Kyrie can play either way, right? Because it's still in New York.
Oh, that's a good question. I don't know. I guess not, right?
I think Harden can carry them to a win against us because we're still us. But otherwise, I think it's probably... I don't know. I was pretty 50-50 on this one, but we're still the Knicks, so I predicted a loss, you know. When close, go with the L, I always like to say. All right, and then finally the Heat. This is not close at all because they are a good team and we are not, and we are going to lose this one.
Yeah, I mean, looking at the standings right now, it could be different when we play them in a bit. But right now, looking at the standings, they're a half game up. Again, I think in front of the Bucks. They're first in the East right now is just what I wanted to state. At home, I don't think that's going to make a difference. I think it's still going to be a loss. And me and you, Toby, we're neck and neck right now, at least record-wise. And
only one game is going to change us, that Nets game. That's the only game that'll put a dent in either one of our records for the better or for the worse.
So and, I'm excited for it. And, you know, a little bit of a lengthy episode here, but I think we got all our points. Just for your final thoughts, and then I'll close this one out.
All right. Good luck. Good luck, Knicks.
All right. Well, again, we'll see you in 5 games, although Toby might have to drag me in here to record an episode tomorrow after the trade deadline ends, but we'll have to wait and see. But again, yeah, if anything happens, we'll be here letting you know, and obviously check to see when our new episodes are out and, you know, all our updates regarding the New York Knicks and our content on the City That Never Sleeps Twitter. I forgot the name of the social media platform for a second. You can follow us on Twitter at TCTNS official, and then you can look to find out all the places you can listen on shipitstudios.com/city that never sleeps. That's shipitstudios.com/city that never sleeps. You can follow me on Twitter at joshola29. Again, subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you listen. Drop 5 stars rating and or positive review. Thank you so much for listening. Go New York, go New York, go. And we'll see you next time. Go next.
Like this, we ain't never looked sharper. With Hubert, Bonner, Gray, and Harper, it's the Knicks, and we're back on pace. Everyone's gearing up for the championship race, and the fans are going crazy, and they're doing it for a reason. Cause 94 is the Knickerbocker season. You better believe the Knicks got all that takes. We're shooting 3-pointers, and we're running fast breaks. And if your defense makes a mistake, then bam, you ain't dunks in your face. This is a team you don't wanna miss. We are New York, we are the New York Knicks. Go New York, go New York, go. A swish, threes by Starks and dunks.
dunks by Smith. And no rebounds, if that's the case, we put Oakley and Mace in your face. We draw charges and we send picks, we are New York. We are the New York Knicks. Say go New York, go New York, go!
Welcome to the All 80s Movies Podcast.
I'm Bill.
And I'm Jason. And this is the podcast where we talk about the blockbusters, the flops, and everything in between from one of the freshest decades for movies, the 1980s. So whether you're a brain, a jock, a valley girl, or a Jedi, we've got some 80s classics for you.
Do these movies stand the test of time? Are we discovering something new? Is there an 80s movie we're finally watching for the first time?
Join us each week as we dive into the cinematic nostalgia that inspired and influenced a generation. From the hits to the cult classics, we'll discuss our earliest memories, favorite scenes, fun facts, and our not-so-favorite movie moments, too.
It's the All 80s Movies Podcast, now available on all major streaming platforms. Please subscribe and happy listening.